Когда он приехал, светило солнце.
Last winter, I saw a movie that its creator calls an algorithmic noir. It looks and feels like a paranoid sci-fi thriller from the 1970s or 80s. It concerns an American engineer named Holtz who gets a job in a mysterious, very foreign place called City A.
Have you ever left City A?
No. Why would I leave?
And he starts finding out things are wrong. The water supply seems to be drugged with lithium. Time has been slowed down. People are running out of language. The people who've hired him may not be who he thinks they are. And everything's a little bit beyond his control.
Do you like our city?
The film is called White on White, and it was made by Eve Sussman. She and her tiny crew shot most of the footage in Kazakhstan, in the former Soviet Union. But when they got back home is where it started getting really interesting. Working with a computer programmer, Sussman designed an algorithm, a piece of software that takes her footage, the voiceovers, the score, and assembles all that into a movie on the fly. That is, assembles it into an infinite number of different movies, perpetually, endlessly.
There is no such thing as the beginning of the movie. We start what we call the serendipity machine, the computer, before the audience enters. And it will always order in a different way. So there is no beginning, middle, or end, and it runs forever. And so as the main character, who's called Holtz, is locked in this city, we are also sort of locked inside this algorithm, and neither can ever really leave. The story never ends, and he can never leave the city.
Week of August 26th. Words about to meet quota. Problem. Accuracy.
Some of the computer's choices are puzzling, but the way Sussman has tagged the footage, they are not random. You can just about make out what's going on, but not quite. Your mind races to fill in the gaps with your own narrative connections.
Even in the very first Q&A we did, because it's a computer-driven piece, the first thing people ask is, well, is it interactive? I want to get in there and tell it to show me only the shots of birds, or have it give me only these bits of narrative. And my response to that is, well, you know what? It's a movie, and you're the audience, and you get to be passive.
Yeah. Good for you, you old-school 20th century person.
Yeah.
And so did you went there with a script intending to make a two-hour feature?
We never had a traditional script. We went first on a road trip. We got detained by the police, got kicked out, ended up in a city called Aktau, which was a sort of utopian, futuristic city built by the Soviets in the 60s.
When Kazakhstan was part of the Soviet Union.
Yes. And we got to this place and within a few hours realized, oh my God, this is a perfect location for a film noir. You could remake Alphaville here. We had many different apartments with addresses like 316, 22.
And no names of streets.
No names. You base where you are on your micro region, your building number, and your door number.
Now, I see why you went there and fell in love with these sets. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah, no, you didn't have to build any sets. They were all built for us.
No, these, you know, it's like if Godard had $200 million.
Right.
You know,
it's pure it's pure modernism at its brutalist and kind of perfect.
At what point did you decide, I'm not going to cut this into a two-hour film, however unorthodox, that you were going to do something more ambitious and computerized?
Yeah, like everything that I do, it happened rather organically. After shooting, I don't know, 150 hours of footage, we got back and I really started questioning the editing process and sort of the hierarchy of that. And I realized that the things that I liked most in my films and in other people's films were the things that happened by serendipity, that happened out of luck. And so I started wondering, could we build a machine that would give us more luck than we could ever have in real life? Hence the serendipity machine.
Can you see better now?
So what was a tool to help you edit a film, you decided let's make it a tool to
be an artwork.
Create the film in infinite permutations each time it's shown.
Right. It sort of got away from us. We started realizing, oh, it's really interesting in its own right. It actually needs to have a life as an artwork in the world. And we started getting invited to do exhibitions, and the whole time changing, the whole time adding more footage, adding more voiceovers.
Take your time.
Here is a scene of Jeff in black and white, looking like a shaggy 70s guy, 80s, whatever. There's a TV on in the background, and there's a couple of chairs. He looks bewildered, anxious, talking on a phone.
There is no more information for you, Mr. Holtz.
So the algorithm then decides, this scene has run, how does it then search to choose the subsequent?
When a voiceover is running, within the time code of the voiceover, there are these keywords, these tags. As the voiceover runs, it will call up clips that are somehow related to what's going on in that scene. And so at 10 seconds into the voiceover, it might find the word TV, and it's going to pull a tag.
Oh, so then it will find a subsequent scene that it contains one of those tags?
Exactly, a clip that contains those tags. And so often we've tagged very poetically. So it might be a scene about the character being anxious, but we'll tag birds. And it'll suddenly show birds of prey, because right. We happen to shoot a lot of birds of prey.
Each shot is what? No more than 15 seconds?
No.
There's some that are longer?
Oh, there's shots that are 5 minutes.
I haven't seen them.
You haven't because of the way the tags work. Again, it's the luck of the draw.
Oh, so when a shot comes up, the algorithm will cut away from a shot, even if it's 5 minutes long,
yes.
After 30 seconds.
Well, when it hits the next tag.
Uh-huh.
I think you're looking at a five-minute shot right now.
Oh, really? Okay, well, there you go. I willed it into being.
You willed it into being. There you go. The serendipity machine is working for you.
If I were stoned, I'd really think I had willed it into being. We're watching a computer monitor, which you're calling the code screen, as we're watching the movie. What am I seeing there?
It's telling you what it's searching for, and it's telling you the tag or the word that's driving that search.
Which way is it going? Does the new stuff come up from the bottom?
Yeah, it comes up from the bottom.
Oh, I see. Searching for match to tags, apocalypse, 76 matching videos. Chose match 48 after 0 rejections. Found match for tag shadow. Searching for match to tags, pink, blue, flicker, static, dance, empty. Trying tag static, 405 matching videos. Chose match 297 after 0 rejections. Set next video to wow, September 8th.
That was great. I love it. I wish you would do more of it. I want to record that. I think that's a piece.
So now it's switched to these, I don't know, half-built towers on some kind of construction site.
And now you'll see that it's just called the tag space, and we're about to look through a telescope, and hence we've given it the tag space.
And now this is, maybe it's a radar site, maybe it's looking for aliens.
Now you're at airport, and
aliens.
You're seeing the character about to go through airport security.
So there's some vague, seemingly coherent sequence.
There's a logic. There's a logic to the edit. The edit is not pure random, and so as you listen to the voiceovers, it feels quite uncanny because the clips that are chosen have something to do with what's going on in the narrative that you're hearing.
So, as you a given hour or two when you're watching it, does it have a different emotional resonance, a different mood? Is it scarier and sadder sometimes?
I would say it is. I mean, there is a mood that people tend to come away with who are new to the piece about the sort of dystopian quality and the idea about the sort of fear of the future. But there are times when it's funny, and then there are times when it's not funny at all.
Yeah.
Or less or more poetic. I mean,
like
I said, the sort of subtext about the language ration is a really interesting poetic story, but it's possible that you would watch for an hour and never hear any of those voiceovers.
Right. It moves along. It's not, so far, watching it, it's not a sense of, oh, this is slow.
Right. It was important to me that it should feel like a movie.
Yeah.
And so that it should have the rhythm of a film and that the edits should be believable.
Because that enables the audience to better make a story out of it?
To make a story and to connect with it. I mean, that was the whole thing about when the audience said to me, why isn't it interactive? I want to interact with it. And I've said to them, well, you are interacting with it. By filling in the gaps between the narratives, you're interacting with it.
The way you interact, way one interacts with all art, essentially.
With a novel, for instance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Or paintings or
right.
poems.
You don't necessarily need to get your hands on it to interact
right,
with
right,
it.
Right, exactly. So do you feel like the algorithm is now essentially a creative collaborator?
Creative collaborator is a big word. I do feel like it's a tool. You know, in the same way a camera is a tool, in the same way a computer is a tool, I definitely wanted this thing that would give me ideas that I don't have by myself. And it's doing that. So on that level, yes, it's a creative collaborator. But there is a limit also to what it can do, and I understand its limitations as well.
You're listening to one of the four new Philco monaural models.
You can see a trailer for Eve Sussman's film, White on White, Algorithmic Noir, and find out where you can watch an online version of the movie at studio360.org.